Second Samuel, we'll go there. Second Samuel. Everybody can stay right there. Junior church can stay right here. Junior church can stay right there. I'll just preach a few minutes. Talking about a famine in the land. A famine in the land. And boy, there is a famine in the land today. You know, Amos said in the book of Amos, he said, there wasn't a famine of food. There wasn't a famine of drink. He said there was a famine of hearing the word of God. And I'm going to tell you something now. Not only is there a famine of hearing the word of God, it's a fear of a famine of not obeying the word of God. And that's the problem. And in 2 Samuel, here's a crazy thing that happens. And I was reading it this morning. I said, man, this is crazy. I mean, here, God, we know God's going to bring judgment. We know all that stuff. But man, this is a crazy statement here. The Bible says there was a famine. There was a famine in the days of David, 3 years. Famine. And I thought about Jesus Christ showing up, and he was, had his ministry for 3 years, 3.5 years. And here they had the word of God right in front of them. Here they had the water of life right in front of them, everything. They rejected it. They rejected that. You can reject, man, when God, and bring a famine in your family, and bring a famine in your church, bring a famine in your own life. And have a famine inside you. There was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord. And I'm going to say this. You can have a famine of not having any fruit in your life. Think about that this morning. Do you have any fruit in your life for Jesus Christ? If the Lord came back right now, would you be able to say, Lord, look at these 3 years. I mean, there's been a famine in the land, but Lord, you've been blessing me. I've had fruit in my life. I mean, Faith Baptist Church, we got some fruit, but we could have more, a lot more. And David started saying, God, what's going on? Why? Why? Whenever there's a famine in your life or in your church or any in your land, there's a reason. There's a reason why. And David started saying, God, what's going on? David wasn't used to that. There's famines in the Bible. There was a famine in Abraham's day. Abraham moved off. But there's a famine, the Bible says, year after year. Is there a famine in your life? Year after year, and it doesn't concern you? It doesn't bother you? You have no fruit? You have no joy? You have no peace? You have no comfort? Man, what's the matter with you? You're not upset about it? You're not worried about it? You're just going to go on your merry way and act like nothing's ever happened? There's a famine in the land. If I don't have fruit in my life, I'm worried about it. I'm concerned. If we don't have fruit in Faith Baptist Church, I'm concerned. As a pastor, I'm responsible. I'm responsible for you that you would have preaching, Joe was talking about revival. We can have revival right now. You can have revival. I went up there to Connecticut, man. God started moving in them kids. I mean, he was moving already. He was good kids. God was moving in them. The preacher's daughter gets saved. She said she wanted to make sure she made professions, but she said she never met it. I'll tell you what, that was a blessing. She came, we hugged her, that she wanted to make sure. I'm not trying to recap anybody. I don't believe in recaps. No, I heard Jack Howell say this. Not Jack Howell, but Jack Wood said this. He said, you know about a recap? I believe you need to make it right. But he said, recaps, if you try to recap people all the time, he said, what, recaps don't go very far. You can't rely on them. He said, when the heat gets hot, he said, they come apart. And Mike knows about tires. But I'll tell you what, folks, there was a famine. And David inquired of God for it. He said, Lord, what's going on? Why is there a famine? And whenever there's a famine in the land, there's a reason. There's a reason. And God, you know what God says? And the Bible says, and it wasn't even David's fault. Here's the thing. There could be a famine. It might not even be your fault. It might not be your cause. You might not be the cause of it. The Bible says this. And he says, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. Now, the Gibeonites were not the children of Israel. And Saul went after him to kill him and started killing him. And if you read your Bible, if you know your Bible, you know back Joshua made a covenant with him back in Joshua chapter 9 and 10. He made a covenant. They deceived him. They deceived Joshua, but he made a covenant. And he made a covenant with the Gibeonites. And they were supposed to be able to dwell with the children of Israel without any harm. And Saul, in his zeal, thought, well, they're not of Israel. They're part of the Amorites. Let me go ahead and I'll just kill them. And Saul made some bad mistakes. Saul did some bad things. You know why? Because the Bible says he had an unclean spirit leading him. Even though he was the captain of the host of Israel, he made bad mistakes. And Saul went after David because of jealousy. David had the power of God. You know, the Bible says that God took the spirit from Saul and he put it on David. And David had that spirit on him, a spirit of God. When David got in there, and then they said, let's find somebody, because Saul had an evil spirit. He's sitting around. You know what an evil spirit will do to you? It'll say, nobody cares for me. You feel sorry for yourself. Well, why am I like this? And, you know, I have people call me all the time, and they're always feeling sorry for themselves. Whenever I start feeling sorry for myself, I know it ain't the spirit of God. Amen. It's my spirit. It's my selfishness. I'm sitting around going, why me? Why you? And that's just an unclean spirit, man. And that unclean spirit talks people into killing themselves. And the Bible says Saul had an unclean spirit from the Lord. Because Saul didn't obey God. That's why America is full of people taking pills trying to find peace. Yeah. Drinking, trying to find peace. Shooting up, trying to find peace. Trying to find some kind of peace, man. Why? Because they got an evil spirit on them. And then when they do that, when you're doing that, when you're drinking, you're doing drugs, you're just bringing more of an evil spirit on yourself. People, I'm not happy. So what happens is they go try to find another woman to try to find them happy, or try to find another man to try to find them make them happy, or try to find another situation to make them happy. They're always looking for some situation to make me happy. You just got a bad spirit on you, man. You got an evil spirit. You better get that rid of that thing. David inquired of God, said, Lord, why is this famine going on? You know what? That famine passes down to your kids. You know what happens in this chapter? I don't have time. It's already 20 after, man. I don't have time, but you know, I'll tell you this. You know, it costs, David said, why, God, why? Why? If you don't have no fruit in your life, you ought to be on the altar saying, Lord, I want fruit. Why? I don't want to live in a famine. Amen. I don't want my kids to live in a famine. And then Saul does some bad stuff and goes out and tries to kill all the Gibeonites after they made a covenant. And God said that covenant he broke. You can break a covenant. And the Bible says, you know what God called Saul? He said, his bloody house. You know, I believe this. I believe the Ryman family had a curse on it. My family, the Rymans, had a curse. And it might have been caused by my father. And it might have been caused by my grandfather. I look back on that. I started looking back. But God allowed me, presented me with the gospel. And y'all know I got brothers in prison, brother killed, and all that stuff. And there was a curse on my family. And God, when we got saved, you can break that curse. You can break that curse by getting saved. I mean, yielding to God, being obedient to the Lord. You can break it. And the devil can't use it against you. But this thing here, this famine required something. It required for David to do something about it. And famines always requires for you to do something about it. You know what the requirement was? Look what it says. It says, and the Gibeonites said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Ammonites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, and Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make an atonement? He said, man, that's Old Testament. Jesus Christ made an atonement for us. So what do you mean? He paid a payment in blood. He said, You got to make an atonement. Now, Jesus Christ paid our sin debt. He paid the atonement. If you want no famines in your home, no famines in your life, you don't want famine in peace, you want joy, make some atonements in your life. Make some atonements. Get things right. Don't keep living like you live. Don't keep going that way. And the Bible says this, wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, what shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make an atonement that you may bless the inheritance of the Lord? He said, I want you to bless us so God would take the famine away. You got somebody that you've done something against, God might require you to go get that thing right. After I got saved, I wanted to go back to people that I hurt, people that I've done wrong to. And David even said he had to pay fourfold, and David paid fourfold. I wanted to go back to people that I've done wrong and said, forgive me, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. A lot of y'all won't do that. You know why you won't do it? Your pride. Your pride won't allow you to do it. You won't go back and say, I'm sorry. You know why? Because I was taught growing up, if you say you're sorry, it shows weakness. But with God, that shows strength. When you can say you're sorry to your wife, I've said I'm sorry to my son. I've said I'm sorry to my children. Just recently, I called another preacher up and told him I was sorry for what I said. You can't say you're sorry. You're pride. David said, what do you require? And the Gibeonites said unto him, we have no silver nor gold of Saul. We don't want his money, nor his houses. Neither for us shall thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, what shall I say? That will I get do for you. And they answered the king, and the man consumed us and devised against us that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel. Let seven men of his sons be delivered unto us. Oh, my Lord. Oh, my Lord. Not only Saul went to battle, had messing with a witch, talked to a witch, and goes to battle, and he sees his great son, Jonathan, die in battle. And he sees his other boys die. Mephibosheth, David takes in. He was a cripple. David takes him in and says, you sit at my table. You know what? Mephibosheth lived way down in a place called Lodibar. And when you're a cripple in those days, brother, I told Jesse, I said, if a man was blind in the days of the Old Testament, what he did, he stood out there, and Jesse knew this, you stand out there and beg. A cripple would beg. Beg for whatever he could get. And Mephibosheth, David takes in. And this is some of Saul's sons and his grandsons. You make bad decisions. A famine get in the land, he said, for his bloody house. He said, then sacrifice his sons and his children. The Gibeonites required that. And we don't have time to read the whole chapter. He said, let seven men of the sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose. And the king said, I will give them. And the king, look what verse 7 says. Look what it says. And the king spared Mephibosheth. Don't you know that day? Mephibosheth was a cripple. And he said to this, he said when he came to the king, when the king said, does Saul have any that remains of his house that I might show the kindness of God to him? If you read your Bible, somebody said, there is one. His name is Mephibosheth. And he said, where is he at? He said, down in Lodibar. He said, well, go get him. And the Bible says, when they went down to get Mephibosheth, he was filthy. He was dirty. He had throw up all over him. They had to take him out of there, and the king's carriage pulled up there, and his king's servants got out, knocked on the door, and Mephibosheth was inside with the filth and the rats and all the other stuff. He said, how do you know? Because the Bible says he was filthy clothes. They had to change him before he could go into the king. They had to clean him up. And the king and the servant said, "The king wants you." And Mephibosheth said, "He's going to kill me." He said, "No, king bids you to come so he can show kindness, the kindness of God."
Amen.
You know what God does? He wants to show his kindness. His kindness. Come on, let me show you my kindness. That day when the Bible says to the king, he said, "I want to spare Mephibosheth. I'm going to make sure Mephibosheth is taken care of." He said, "You can have any others." You know what he does? He takes his wife's, his first wife, his wife that he had, Michelle, or Michael, whatever you want to call her. He took her children, which was not from him. He worked, he paid for her to be able to be his wife. He took her children and two others, Saul's sons, grandsons, paid a great price. And I don't have time to read all this. The mother, one of the mothers, look at this. And the Bible says, "And the king spared Mephibosheth," verse 7, "and the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul." You know why he did that? They sing a song called, you know, Mephibosheth. Do you all know that song? You do? Man, that's a beautiful song. Why? I see myself as Mephibosheth too. And he spared Mephibosheth. And Mephibosheth, God, the only reason Mephibosheth was still alive because David made a covenant with Jonathan. And there was a covenant between them. And David loved Jonathan like his own life. And Mephibosheth got spared. My, my, my. Look at this. Look at verse 8. "And the king took the two sons of Ripha, the daughter of Ahiah, whom he spared on the Saul," or she bared on the Saul. She was a concubine. "And he took those two boys," look at verse 9, "he delivered them into the hands of the Gibeonites, and they hanged them in the hill before the Lord. And they fell all seven together and were put to death in the days of the harvest, in the first days, in the beginning of the barley harvest. And Ripha, the daughter of Ahiah, took sackcloth," look at this, "and spread it for her upon the rock from the beginning of the harvest until the water dropped upon them out of heaven." These boys hung out there for months. And look what this mama does. "Suffered neither bird nor air to rest on them by day, nor the beast by the field by night. And it was told David. And David," verse 12, "went and took the bones of Saul and the bones of Jonathan, his sons, from the men of Gibeah Gilead, and which had stolen them from the streets of Bashan, where the Philistines had hanged them. And the Philistines had slain Saul in Gilboa. And he brought up from hence the bones," and so on. And I don't have time to cover all this. But it's, man, this woman goes out there and every day, every night, kept the beast and everything from gnawing on her children. And Saul said, "Go get them." I mean, David says, "Go get them. Let's bury them with their father and their grandfather." There was a famine in the land. There was a famine year after year. I've been pastor here 30 years. And I've seen some people in this church never have any fruit. Never come to the altar. Never spend time that I know of. I worry about people like that. I worry about them. There's a famine in your land. Why? You choose for it to be that way. You choose. Saul had an evil spirit on him. Saul had an evil spirit, and he went out in his zeal. He tried to go against God, against the covenants that were made. He tried to go. Saul was doing contrary to what God wanted the nation of Israel to do. Then he tried to kill David. He tried to kill God's anointed. Let me ask you something, man. I'm going to stop here. It's already time. Don't even have time to finish. If there's a famine in your land, the Bible says in Amos there was a famine, but not of food. But there was a famine of hearing and obeying God. Where are you at? You have plenty of food. You have plenty of this, plenty of that. Is there a famine in your land? You know what? You know what? If you're not careful, it'll be passed down generation after generation after generation. God have mercy. If you don't care about that, David wanted to know. Why? God, why? Why? You ought to want to know. You're here today, you're not saved. Today is the day of salvation. You need to get saved. You can break a curse. You know what? I believe this. If you get obedient to God, you can break any famine that might be in your life. You can break it. The Bible says the trials of your faith being much more precious than gold, though they be tried with fire, shall be found unto the praise and honor. And you'll have peace. You won't need drugs. You won't need something to keep you, give you peace. You'll be rejoicing. You'll be thanking God that God's put his peace inside you, his joy inside you. No famine, man. A famine in the land year after year. David wanted to know why. Don't you? You said, preacher, I want to make sure things are right between me and God. Like I said, that's the place. For what would people think? I don't care. Who cares? As long as he knows. Let's pray. Father, I pray, God, that you'd bless the message. This is a short message to preach. I pray you use it. Touch hearts. Help us be concerned about famine in our church. In America. America. Preachers are not preaching anymore.